A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Great crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and addressed them. If anyone comes to me without hating his brother and his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Which of you wishing to construct a tower does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if there is enough for its completion? Otherwise, after laying the foundation and finding himself unable to finish the work, the onlookers should laugh at him and say, "This one began to build but did not have the resources to finish." Or what king marching into battle would not first sit down and decide whether with 10,000 troops he can successfully oppose another king advancing upon him with 20,000 troops? If not, while he is still far away, he will send a delegation to ask for peace terms. In the same way, any one of you who does not renounce all his possessions cannot be my disciples. Harsh, demanding words. You must take up your cross to follow the one whose cross has redeemed us. So our crosses and the cross of Christ are somehow linked together. How do we determine that linkage? The first reading from Wisdom talks about how the wisdom of God is so far above human wisdom that we cannot understand the things of God at all without divinely inspired wisdom. And Jesus, who is wisdom personified, the Logos, gives us these demanding, challenging, and essential elements of following him. As a Jew, he uses hyperbole to give the level of commitment that we must have to him and his cross. He says, unless you hate your father and mother. Does this mean raging, virulent, outright hatred of our fathers and mothers? No, it means that his demands and the furthering of the kingdom must be so far above these natural loves, these natural inclinations, that everything about them must be in alignment with the demands of Christ and his cross. Because if we follow Jesus and are willing to bear his cross, then all these other good attachments or obligations even will be taken care of. They will be enriched. They will be more than taken care of. They will be enhanced. Sometimes we're going to have to pray for the wisdom that the writer of the Book of Wisdom says is essential. We are indeed hampered by original sin. First of all, we no longer have minds and hearts that are in sync with our Creator. We must struggle. We must struggle. That's part of the cross that Jesus talks about. The struggle against sin. The struggle against our temptations to fall into death when we are called to life. And Jesus himself is facing this. We sometimes think that Jesus didn't suffer daily temptations. But look, he is on the way to Jerusalem. He is tending towards his own cross. And he tells us that there is a cost to following him. and we must be aware of the cost. Like the man building the tower, we must know that we have a large amount of effort to complete the tower. And we have a large struggle to defeat the enemy in battle. If the enemy has 20,000 and we only have 10, does that mean we compromise with the enemy? No, it means that God will supply the deficit, that we must even at times endure what appears to be defeat. That's part of the cross. You know, when Christ hung on that cross, no one looking at him thought he was a victor. No one looking at the suffering, dying Christ on that hill thought that he was the Redeemer of the world. But from that seeming defeat comes the greatest victory that could ever be envisioned, the victory over sin and death, the victory that enables you and I to have the ability to share in his cross, but only with grace, only by a struggle. To take up and carry the cross is not humanly possible. It is only possible in and through and with Christ. Jesus is going to Jerusalem and the death that he will bear there, and he knows what's ahead of him. And he is cautioning his followers that they too must join with him. To have a part of Jesus Christ means not only to partake of his triumph on Easter Sunday, but also to accompany him in the terrors of Passion Friday. No cross, no cross, no victory. Without the palm, without the dust, I should say, as the Romans used to say, you cannot win the palm of victory. From the dust of Calvary, from the sweat, tears, and pain and anguish of Calvary, and from that alone comes the promise of immortality, the promise of eternal joy. Amen.